Jesus is 18 miles away from his destination in Jerusalem in the real story that Frank read there. And 18 miles, you might think from here probably to downtown Pittsburgh, I think, about 18 miles, maybe a few more. But that makes Jesus very close to Palm Sunday. He's headed for the Last Supper. He's headed for the cross where he would give his life for us. He's headed for rising from the dead, which is why we're all here today, because we serve a living Savior. So just outside of Jerusalem, he's going to win the gift of life forever with us. And while he's doing that, he stops and helps one person, Bartimaeus. And you might think the Lord's concerned with a lot of big things happening in the world, which he is. Heartbreak in our nation out west, and painful times for people seeking work and so on. But for anybody who's like Bartimaeus, one person, Jesus would stop. If that person is you, he would stop for you. And so you put yourself in his shoes, if you would. One simple way to hear God in the Bible is to put yourself in the real story. And as somebody once prayed, you know, when you open the Bible, Lord, let me see you. It's a good prayer to pray when you read the Bible. Lord, let me see myself. And Lord, let me see my sin. And Lord, let me see my Savior. Good ways to pray when you open God's Word. And Bartimaeus was going to experience that type of life-changing time with the Lord. You know, when we put ourselves in the story, you have to remember, we're not the main character in the story. Bartimaeus wasn't the main character. We're not the main character in our own lives. Yeah, Jesus is the main character. He created us. He authors and makes perfect our faith. So keeping the Lord in the main character of every passage, of every moment, we still can put ourselves right in the midst of it and meet him there. And how he changed lives back then, he could change your life and my life right here. So there's three groups in the real story here. Blind Bartimaeus, who's a beggar. That's one. There's the disciples in the crowd. They take the place, they take the part of one person. That's instructive. You know, today when Christians just kind of follow the world and do what they do, it's not the first time that ever happened. Okay. We were thinking about the young people heading off to the retreat a little while back. They say, well, the young people would have a tough world to grow up in, you know, and a lot of sin out there, a lot of problems, and that's very true. Need to pray for them and, you know, cheer them on as they grow. But there were young people in Jesus' day, okay, when the Romans were poking everybody around, and there was sin all over the place. And young people followed the Lord. Okay, so it won't be the first generation to follow the Lord when there's a bunch of chaos and bad times all around. So, you know, do more than feel sorry for the young people. You pray for them and know God will take over in their lives. But it's the blind man, it's the crowd and the disciples acting as one, and it's Jesus. We'll let Jesus be Jesus. He'll be himself whether we let him or not. So that's what's going on here. What is happening with the beggar who's a blind man? What is he doing? The blind man is sitting, he's begging, he's shouting, crying for help, and he is praying. Not a bad group of activities. You went to church today. Somebody says, what did I do in church? They ask you the question. You said, I was sitting, I was begging for help, I was crying out loud, maybe not verbally, but inside, for God to have mercy on me, and I was praying. And if you do that between you and God, you can be absolutely certain that God is going to pay attention to you. And God is going to do something very, very good in your life if you are like the blind man, Bartimaeus. So he's blind. One preacher said there's only one thing worse than being blind. It's being blind and not knowing it. There's a story of Jesus and another blind man in John chapter 9. He heals this blind man, and then Jesus starts talking to these people who believe in God, and he says, you know, it's one thing to be blind physically, but if you're blind spiritually, that's a problem. And the people who believed in God said, "What? Are we blind too?" They were irate with the thought that they were blind in some manner. And Jesus said, "Well, hey, if you say you can see, then your guilt remains. But if you admit your blindness, then I could help you." Okay, so that's what Bartimaeus is going through physically. You and I, God can reach our hearts spiritually in a very real way. Blessed are those who admit their spiritual blindness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I was blind, and I told the Lord about it, and I prayed like Bartimaeus, "Lord, I want to see. I want to see." You could do that. You could pray, "Lord, I'm so blind, I think I know it all." That can happen. "Lord, I'm so blind, I think I know it all. Lord, I'm so blind, I can't even see you." That's not a bad prayer to pray. That's what Bartimaeus was praying. He heard Jesus, he couldn't see Jesus. I heard Jesus of Nazareth. I heard he's here. I heard he can do something. And Lord, I'm as spiritually blind as Bartimaeus is physically blind. Not bad prayers to pray if we're going to meet Jesus on his way to the cross. And what's the disciples in the crowd doing? We know what Bartimaeus is doing. He's really up the creek. By the way, Bartimaeus is begging. Okay? You might say, why is he begging? You know, don't they have any jobs for blind people back then? Shouldn't he be home helping his father Timaeus out or something like that? But no, he's begging. And I guess beggars were fairly common in Jesus' day back then. He's on the outskirts of the city, hopefully getting people as they come and go. If you go to Pittsburgh or even in our own area, you're going to find people begging. And sometimes when you see that happen, you know, a sign says, I need food or I need work. Often, you know, you're driving by, if you're like me, you think, you know, lock the doors, you know. Probably a drug addict, you know. Be careful. Don't look over there. Look the other way. And you know, probably will use it for alcohol or something. And you may not stop. But one thing we do know, for this beggar, Jesus stopped. Okay, Jesus stopped. So when you see somebody hurting, you can know Jesus is going to stop. Jesus will stop. As a matter of fact, if he lives in your life, he is ready to help that person through you. Through you. He really will. You could picture the story of a man out on Route 30, a big traffic jam. Happening on Route 30. You say, what happened on Route 30? A lot of traffic jams, but this day is something different. There's like 200 cars lined up right next to a guy holding a sign, "Need help." And every one of those cars stop and they're passing something on to this beggar over here. You say, that would never happen, you know. Oh, you never know what the Lord will do, you see. What does that look like? The Bible would tell us that looks like salvation. That looks like salvation. Because when you and I were helpless and blind and in spiritual poverty, we didn't have a dollar of righteousness to our name. God came and he gave us himself. And one blessing after another, grace upon grace, while we were undeserving, while we were still, you know, sin addicts and everything else. And he did it. It was amazing. So when you see that beggar on the side of the road holding that sign, you and I are to remember, I wonder if that guy's name's Bartimaeus. Or you know what? That looks like me to God. That's what I look like. I'm standing there with a sign saying, I need help. And I can't even get any work done in any manner. And so Jesus, well, he stops. What does the crowd do and what the disciples do when they see Bartimaeus? Well, probably in my car here. They rebuke Bartimaeus. Gah. Be quiet. Hush up. They severely censor him based on what Bible version you use. They tell him to be still. And This can happen in the life of the world. As we see need, we get frightened by it. Maybe we don't know what to do, so we say, just hush up. I was watching TV the other day, and it was another commercial, you know, of broken lives, probably children or families who need help, and, you know, reach for the channel changer, you know, change the channel. I need a Fritos commercial. I need a commercial by Pepsi or something. I don't want to see one more broken heart. Well, Bartimaeus was broken. So the disciples in the crowd, they're doing the same thing. Be quiet. We're heading for Jerusalem. I was a member of a Bible study one time where half of us really knew the Bible very well. I mean, we were into it big time and growing and learning. And it was a good thing. And then about the other half of the people in the Bible study knew pretty much absolutely nothing about the Bible. I mean, just it was a strange book to them. You couldn't say turn to Psalms. You know, where's Psalms? Or where's 1 John? Or I don't know. And a lot of questions. I don't understand this about this part of believing in God. I don't understand that about this part of believing in God. And question after question. And just it seemed to disrupt them. Finally, it was like, if you don't be quiet, I'm not coming back to this Bible study. I'm trying to follow Jesus over here. I don't know if whether the crowd and the disciples felt that way, but they didn't want to really deal with the brokenness that Bartimaeus was feeling. And so hush up. This is what we do sometimes as disciples. No matter what we do, though, the blind are going to keep shouting. We can be sure of that. Whether we help or not, they're going to keep shouting, which is what Bartimaeus did. Jesus, Messiah, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so he continues on. Someone said, a desperate desire for God always meets God. Something good about that. A desperate desire for God always meets God. And what happens with Jesus? We know what the crowd did. Jesus stopped. Right there, that's almost enough for the gospel to be explained. You know, Jesus stopped for one. And he was going and he actually turned around and said, call that man to me. And he asked, what do you want me to do for you? You know, Bartimaeus didn't cry out, oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. He might have never heard Jesus say, what do you want me to do for you? Here again, could be our time with God, any day of the week or church time. You went to church, and what happened? Well, Jesus stopped. I mean, he stopped everything. And he called my name. And what was around me before telling me to hush up, all of a sudden they got excited and they said, what? Cheer up. He's calling for you. And then Jesus asked me, what do you want me to do for you? And I was ready to tell him because it was there. And then Jesus helps the man. You know, what a change in life that happened for him can happen for us. Bartimaeus, he gets right to the point. He says, teacher, I want to see. I want to see. And don't you be afraid to ask Jesus about your relationship with him or some very painful need in your life. Whatever that need is, Bartimaeus, of course, had that real need of physical blindness. Jesus can help you with that, but he'll do much, much better. He will introduce himself to you in the midst of your really big pain that you have. Lord, please help this pain in my life. Well, Jesus helped that, but then next thing you know, I was looking right at Jesus, and I started to follow him. Isn't it a blessing for Bartimaeus? Blind, we don't know how long he was blind, but the first person he saw when he opened his eyes was Christ. And the Lord can do that for us in the spiritual need we are. You know, say, oh, my blindness, my need. He opens our eyes, and we see him. And then, so good news, Bartimaeus, he sees Jesus and he gets up and he follows him. Wow. Somebody said to know Christ is to follow Christ. To really see Jesus is to really follow Jesus. And we need His help for that. And so don't be afraid to cry out to the Lord today. He calls. He still calls. He still stops. He calls us for salvation. Like in Isaiah 43, God says, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. If you don't know Christ and you don't know if you're going to go to heaven or hell when you die, call out to God. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus will stop and He will come to your heart and He will never leave you or forsake you. What a great Savior. And you'll be like Bartimaeus. You'll be following Him. And everybody will look at you. Where'd you come from? We were trying to get you to be quiet. And you'll be an effective follower. And then Jesus calls the believers too. The disciples that were there, the crowd, He calls them. They keep following Him. There's a song that says, Jesus calls us over the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Oh, Lord, I was so jacked up on my own schedule and caffeine, I didn't know if I was going to stop, let alone you're going to stop. But you met me along the way. Day by day, His strong voice sounds, Christian, come and follow me. And of course, for Bartimaeus and for all of those folks and ourselves, every day heaven and hell are at stake in our relationship with God. So it is pretty intense. But God is merciful. He'll meet us in the time we need Him. It was a time change for Bartimaeus, kind of a do or die moment, because Jesus, He's leaving town. This is it. Shakespeare wrote these words, paraphrased, that I will. There's a tide in the affairs of men, which when taken in timeliness leads to blessing. This is Bartimaeus. This is it. If I don't call out now, I'm never going to call out. Shakespeare went on to write, which when not taken, sends all voyages into shallowness and misery. I had a chance to follow Christ and to ask for His help, but I didn't do it. And now my life feels like shallowness and misery. Ugh. Well, the Lord would call our name. And just one word of application, try to have a Bartimaeus mentality again. Pray like a begging blind man. Okay? Don't be afraid. Pray like a begging blind man. For yourself or on behalf of somebody else. Pray loudly. Pray repeatedly. Jesus will stop. And He will help you. And just that simple prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. That phrase was prayed 12 times in the Psalms. God's mercy is talked about 80 times just in the Psalms. And like Bartimaeus could have sung about the Lord. Mercy there was great. And grace was free. And pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty. When Jesus called. Or we could hear the words, it's mercy all, immense and free. For, oh my Lord, it found out me. And to honor God, we say, holy, 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 merciful and mighty. To call on the Lord like that. And remember, the folks around you, blind as you and I are, Jesus could stop and call them too. And again, when you see that need, you be confident Jesus in you showed you the need because He's ready to do something about it. And so we're so glad the Lord is this way, even on His way of bringing the forgiveness of sins and eternal life for the likes of you and I. May we pray and know His goodness to us today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for stopping for this one blind man. You kind enough to tell us his name. And he sounded like an ornery cuss, maybe to the other people. Just requesting this and wanting help. And you called him to Yourself. So, in our blindness, cure our blindness, spiritually or otherwise, and help us see you first, and then help us follow you, and continue to change our lives. Bless each dear person, Father, as many brokenness as there might be. Show yourself sufficient, and might we say, walk away, say, well, you know, I begged and I prayed, and now I'm following. And how happy our soul will be glad in you. Bless each one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.